Hey everybody, and welcome to a Good Vibes Gaming Discussion. I'm your host, Ash Paulson, and I am joined by my wonderful friends and GVG co-founders, Derek Bittner and Steve Bowling, to talk about the state of Smash Bros. Ultimate, specifically our thoughts on the last two DLC characters to be released throughout the year. And this is kind of our first step in our weekly discussions that are going to be coming to the channel just going forward for good. We're going to be doing a weekly discussion on topics to be voted on by our patrons at the producer tier and above. So if you're interested in getting in on that action, you can check us out over on patreon.com/gbgaming. But with that said, let's talk about Smash. So, guys, I know you, all three of us, have very strong opinions on who we would like to see make it into the roster as one of these final two slots that are coming up. I still hope that maybe we'll get one more character after these last two, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think this really is the end. And how are you guys feeling about this? Like, just that we're finally kind of coming to the end of this long, long development process that started really with Smash 4.
It's kind of wild that it really does feel like we're so close to the end. It came a lot quicker than I think any of us expected, because they said it'd be all the characters would be out by end of 2021, which, yeah, that's like, okay, there's a lot of breathing room there. It's probably going to take a little longer for them to come out. And no, they've been popping these out like crazy. And yeah, based on all of that, like, I'll be honest, I truly do think that the next DLC character will be revealed at E3. There's no doubt in my mind.
I think so too. That makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, especially given the timing of Pyra and Mythra's release, that was in March. I believe it was like mid-March, right? So
yes.
Or was it April? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It just given timeline-wise. Anyway, even if there wasn't E3 in June, I do think we would probably get the next character announcement around June-ish anyway. So E3 serves as the perfect vehicle for that. But if it is an E3 reveal, that does carry with it certain expectations. You know, I don't think that they're going to use E3 to reveal, let's say, a Generation 8 Pokemon or something. I think it would have to be a pretty hype third-party character, possibly. I mean, given that we got, you know, Banjo-Kazooie and Hero at E3 a couple of years ago. So, yeah, are your thoughts aligned with mine on that, or do you think it could just be anyone, even just kind of a maybe less hype first-party character?
Man, that is difficult. I've come to expect the unexpected with Smash reveals.
Yeah.
And that basically is a nice way of saying I don't think that there's any rules anymore. Though, like you said, you know, last E3 that existed, we got Banjo-Kazooie, which was the hypest announcement, I think, of all of them. I'm not a huge Banjo fan, but, I mean, we were all in that room.
Oh, when Banjo, I'll never forget it.
And Kazooie got announced, and just that place blew up.
And it's usually pretty freaking quiet, like, but to have that place, the one of the quietest rooms in E3, just explode. That was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the entire press room was just on fire. Not literally on fire, but people were so, so happy and jumping up and down in their seats, and you could hear all these little, woo, yeah, all right. But, you know, it was a great moment.
I mean, the crazy thing is, and I don't want to get too far off topic, but we're talking about the same direct where we got that Breath of the Wild 2 trailer. And people definitely popped off more for Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, I'm like the one person screaming about Breath of the Wild 2.
Well, you were watching the Japanese stream, so you were like seeing things at different rates than us. So
Yeah. But it was definitely interesting to gauge the difference in reaction. So I feel like this is a roundabout way of saying that it would be wise of Nintendo to bring their A game for this next reveal, if it is indeed an E3 reveal.
It would, but the question is, how far in advance did they plan this? Were they like, okay, despite the whole thing going on with the pandemic, is E3 still going to happen? Do we want to have a big thing for that, or do we want to just carry on as business as usual? And that's the big factor here, because it could they could have prepared for it, but I kind of doubt it. I kind of have a feeling, at least I get the sense that it's just like, it's business as usual. We don't really know what's coming up. So here's the character, and maybe it'll be big. Maybe it won't be. I truly do think the reason they had both Banjo and Kazooie and Hero revealed at E3 is because they knew that if Hero was revealed, no American would really care. It's like, really? That's it for your E3? But in the same flip side for Japanese players with Banjo getting revealed, it's like, all right, with some American character, I don't, like, maybe a few people got into it, but for the most part, these are two characters that don't have a lot of worldwide appeal in the same way for between Japan and America. And that, I think that was a nice solution. So both sides of the pond really got hyped. And I don't think they're, I don't think we're going to get that again with like another, you know, final two reveal, both of them getting revealed, and one's really good for the US and one's really good for Japan. But the other thing is, I don't know how many of these characters are going to be third party or Nintendo, because a lot of people are under the assumption that it's going to stick mainly to third party, but I don't know. We don't know. And I really think that is the big question.
I have been given this a lot of thought. And so I can't wait till we get into who we think is coming or who we want to show up, because I have like a trailer planned out in my mind.
Nice. I do that a lot with the characters I want most, of course, you know, Sora, who's going to come up at some point, I'm sure. But Derek, I think you touched on something specific there. And I think that's what's really exciting about this, is that we really don't know. Like to my mind, all of the obvious first party choices now are in. We got our ARMS character. We got our Xenoblade 2 characters. You could argue that maybe a Generation 8 Pokemon is on the slate. I really hope not. I think that just would not be very exciting for the last two character reveals. But beyond a Generation 8 Pokemon, there aren't any obvious first-party characters to me that I can think of.
I disagree. I disagree. It's not one that I don't think Nintendo hypes up that much, or maybe even consider. I don't, you know, who knows if there's anything in relation to it. But I do think Dixie Kong would get a pretty good reaction.
I agree with that. Yeah, I think she would. I certainly would love to have Dixie Kong in the game. But is she a last two characters level of hype?
I mean, remember, our last of the main lineup, I think, was Incineroar.
Byleth.
Well, and Byleth of the last DLC pack. They do not end on, this is the most hyped character.
No, that's true. That's true.
My problem with Dixie Kong, and I'm not a big Donkey Kong expert, so y'all feel free to stomp a mud hole in this idea, is that I feel like she'd be a great Echo instead of a full-on character.
I think there's enough functional differences between her and Diddy that it wouldn't really work as a Echo. I can see it. They might be able to adapt it, but it wouldn't feel like Dixie at that point.
Yeah, because you know she has her hair that allows her to float through the air. She can attack with her hair. Some of her animations or idle animations, she blows bubble gum. That could be incorporated into her moveset. Mm-hmm.
Because she wasn't in DK64, she doesn't have any kind of fruit gun.
Right.
So,
and that's true. And we also know that I believe it was either for Brawl, I think she was initially planned to be a partner character with Diddy. And for whatever reason, don't quote me on that, but I think that's what I remember reading on Source Gaming a while back. And for whatever reason, that was scrapped. But I do believe there were plans to make her playable in some form in Brawl, and it just fell through, and it hasn't happened since. But Steve, I see what you're saying in terms of overall, you know, weight and appearance and the way she might just play in general. I could see what you mean about her being similar to Diddy, but I do think there are enough things that set her apart that they could build a unique moveset around her if they wanted to. So Dixie Kong, I guess, would be maybe the one other kind of obvious first-party character. But beyond that, though, it's all coming up third-party to me, but I also don't want to assume that we're just getting more third-party characters because, you know, there has been no pattern so far. We got a bunch of hype third-party characters in the first Fighter's Pass, and then it ended with Byleth. And I don't want to make it seem like first-party characters can't be hype, but it was an interesting way to end that Fighter's Pass after a bevy of third-party characters.
Mm-hmm. We actually pulled up Source Gaming's Mega Smash poll from even before Fighter Pass 2 came out. And they had this massive poll with all these votes going down. And the first character that popped up in votes, first-party character that popped up in votes, is actually number 9 with Bandana Waddle Dee, of all things, which just makes me laugh.
And that's hilarious.
That's the funny thing is, that moveset would work. I think because of the spear moveset and the way Kirby games work, Bandana Waddle Dee has a perfect moveset for Smash. I don't know if it's necessarily exciting. I don't necessarily know if it would excite the people at large. It's just because Waddle Dee is not exactly an exciting character. That said, number 12 is the next first-party character, and that's Waluigi. And
I was going to bring him up.
That gets into another discussion. Do they take a character that was an assist trophy or is an assist trophy and make them a character as well. I don't know.
Right.
You know what I find interesting about that Waluigi theory is, though? Power A just announced a Waluigi controller out of nowhere for seemingly reason. And I hate to be the tinfoil hat guy, but it is a weird thing to license in the absence of any reason for Waluigi to get a dedicated controller other than the internet's general love for Waluigi, apparently.
That is funny timing. And you know, the whole Waluigi thing has kind of become its own meme. There's lore here because, you know, as we know, Sakurai kind of, during the Ultimate hype phase when we were finding out new stuff about Ultimate and Sakurai confirmed he was coming back as an assist trophy, he kind of poked fun or threw shade at Waluigi and his fans saying something like, you know, well, just because you try hard doesn't mean you make it into the roster. And I mean, he just threw all the shade at Waluigi. And so, you know, that kind of got people thinking, well, no, he's just, you know, Sakurai doesn't want to, not going to happen. Waluigi is just not on the table. But what if he is? What if the way this whole saga ends is that Waluigi is the last character to be added to Ultimate's roster via DLC, and that's how we end? We get one more third-party character and then Waluigi to top it all off. I can tell you, I would be massively upset, personally. But what are you going to do?
I wouldn't be upset because it's hard to be upset when Smash Army has every other character I want except for Goku and Travis Touchdown.
Right.
But
upset in context, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely not the note I'd want Smash to go out on, that's for sure. But man, I feel like I'd be happy for the fans, though. I legitimately would be happy for Waluigi fans. I'm not a Waluigi fan. I don't understand how he has fans. But like, he doesn't even have a personality, really. Waluigi is such a non-character.
He kind of has developed a bit of a personality, at least the way Martinet describes it. And it's a weird thing where it's like he always thinks he's the best, but why isn't everybody treating me like I'm the best type of thing? It's a
I would love to see an actual joke character in Smash. I feel like Smash doesn't have Wario kind of, but I feel like there isn't a character who is actually like a bad fighter on purpose.
Well, Pichu was in Melee, but then they made Pichu a lot better in Ultimate. I mean, I guess Pichu kind of still fills that role.
Well, yeah, but I would argue that Pichu's fighting was unintentionally poor. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they did.
It was
make
a very rushed
to make it
development.
Hurt itself. Yeah, that's true. Fair. It was. Yeah, the end of Melee. But you know, Pichu does still hurt itself every time it uses electric attacks. So there is that. But and there are other characters like Duck Hunt. But I mean, I think that conceptually they're a bit jokey. But they're actually, you know, they're certainly viable just to play.
We have Piranha Plant. That is a jokey character. So
Piranha Plant. Yeah.
That's the thing is Sakurai is really so good at this that he can make those really jokey characters feel like almost natural extensions. Like, oh yeah, yeah. Like it was weird at first, but yeah, Piranha Plant part of the roster, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there is a potential that this could all end with Waluigi. It was all one long con by Sakurai after the blowback to, you know, Waluigi not getting in. And I would be happy for the fans. You know, I'm not one of them, but of course, yes, I'd be happy for the fans if that did happen. But that just seems like such a strange way to end things on. And I guess that just kind of brings me back to what I said before, is that what's so exciting here is that we really don't know what we have in store. I mean, I'm almost glad that we got Pyra and Mithra when we did, because that kind of checked off that kind of semi-expected, okay, Xenoblade 2, that was one of the games that came out in that really bad period for getting into Ultimate's initial roster along with ARMS. So we got both those games now. What's left? I see people throwing around Chun-Li a lot, and I see people throwing around either Tails or Eggman a lot. And I don't know if I think a third Street Fighter character is going to happen. I do think Chun-Li deserves to be here. She's, you know, the most important, prolific, iconic female fighting game character in the world. I think that Chun-Li should be here, and if not, it should have been her instead of Guile in the assist trophy. Yeah. But I don't know if I see a third Street Fighter character happening. But Tails or Eggman, now that's a different discussion, and one that I'm highly interested in.
Yeah. I feel like they helped define the 16-bit era, and to not have them when you already have Sonic feels like an oversight. I mean, it clearly isn't, but it feels like it.
Right.
They are some of the most obvious choices, I would say, especially with the roster being as full as it is. Like, how does Sonic right. not have a partner to play off of?
Right.
Right.
Even going back to EGM, when they made that joke thing for, I think it was Melee, like April Fool's Day prank, it was not just Sonic. It was Sonic and Tails. They are kind of a pair in the same way as Mario and Luigi. So it makes sense from that lineup. And conversely, Dr. Eggman is kind of plays up into the whole increase in villains we've gotten this
time
around.
That's also true.
So either one would be an amazing partner to Sonic and would open the door for so much more music that would be in there. That's kind of like a big reason, like a new, better stage for Sonic, because I don't think he has a definitive stage yet. I don't think it's quite there.
Well, he's got a few. He's got Green Hill Zone and Windy Hill Zone.
Yeah, but I don't think either of those is like, oh my god, this is so great. You know?
Okay. I personally love both, but I hear you. They're
Windy, I like Windy Hill more than Green Hill, but I don't know. Small. I feel like I think City Escape could be a fun one, or there's tons of Sonic stages out there.
Death Egg Robot. If we do get Death Egg Robot, have his own Death Egg Robot stage. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. So good. Oh, they could make it like incorporate the whole Death Egg falling into the Angel Island from Sonic 3. And
that
having,
would be
like
cool.
A traveling stage of it lifting back up into the sky and having that whole sequence or something to that effect, or go balls out and have Sonic Unleashed opening as a setting with that
Station Square
thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you were saying Unleashed. Sonic Unleashed. Yeah, I was thinking Adventure. Yeah, so that's true. That could be cool too. You could do the Hidden Palace, like Sonic 3 and Knuckles Hidden Palace Emerald Altar. Like that, like with the art in the background that shows like Sonic fighting, Super Sonic fighting Eggman. There's so much they could do, and I feel as though you're right, Derek. Especially with the music, like Tails or Eggman would serve kind of a similar function to Sephiroth, right? In the sense that not only is the character itself super great, we got Sephiroth, but he also served as a vehicle to get us a bunch more music from Final Fantasy VII, and Advent Children and such. And same thing with Sonic. It's not quite to the same extent because we do have, a good, bit of music from Sonic, but it could certainly be more. And
we're missing out on remixes. I think that's the big thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it would be kind of a cool way to bring things full circle, too. I mean, obviously, Snake was the very first third-party character to be added to Smash, but Sonic wasn't too far behind him, and he was, Sonic was one of the first series to be added, third-party series to be added to Smash, and to bring it back full circle with another Sonic character for one of the last two Ultimate Fighters could be an interesting way to go. And
he's
the
one that makes sense.
Hyped. I think so. And, I mean, Tails is, after Luigi... Tails is the most iconic player too, right? The buddy, the best friend, the sidekick.
Yep.
Tails is that character after Luigi. And I think it would be, as I think it was you said, Derek, the EGM joke, it was Sonic and Tails. They're a pair, man. You can have one without the other, but I'd rather have them both. And just personally speaking, if we did get Tails, I would be over the moon excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I want to put out my own theory. It's not a theory. It's a wish. For those of you that have never heard me in a Smash discussion, everything I say is 100% wrong. So I don't know anything. I'm not predicting anything. I'm just telling you what I'd like to see. So this is what I envision for like my probably most hype delivery of an announcement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beat for beat. We get the Richter trailer, right? Where Luigi's going through Dracula's castle, getting
nice.
Spooked, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shot for shot, beat for beat, same stuff is happening. And then Luigi encounters Death, right? And right before Death swings his scythe and removes Luigi's soul from his body, Death gets impaled by a hook and then just dragged off camera. And you hear an explosion and a bunch of bones just roll along the ground towards Luigi. And then you just zoom in and it's Doom Guy.
And then I was wondering where you were going with this. Okay.
I wasn't like, what character is he going for?
You just cut straight to Doom Guy and it goes to gameplay and you're just showing him rocking people left and right. And then they do another cut to a short CG sequence and Master Chief puts his hand on Doomguy's shoulder and moves him aside. And they reveal that Master Chief is Doomguy's Echo. And we're getting both Microsoft characters that are like at positions 3 and 5 on this survey. And they and they're just similar enough that it would work.
Well, 3 and 8. Master Chief is number 8.
I'm sorry, 3 and 8, yeah. But I would love this. And people have been speculating lately, Phil Spencer, and in almost every Xbox presentation, for seemingly no reason, they have a Switch in the background. And the last time they had a thing on a shelf, it was the Xbox Series S just hiding in plain view for a bunch of months. And I'm just hopeful that there's some kind of, because Sakurai mentioned that the characters were decided for marketing purposes or something to that effect. He didn't have as much control as usual over the selection process. So I keep hoping, and I'm going to always hope, that we get some kind of announcement where xCloud or something is playable on Switch. And the flip side of that is that we get Doomguy, since Microsoft bought Bethesda in the meantime, and Master Chief in Smash in some way, shape, or form. That is my dream announcement. That would be the... I mean, next to Travis Touchdown, which I've written off and I don't believe is ever going to happen, this would be the thing that would hype me up the most, is to get these two characters. I mean, Doomguy, he has such a long legacy in gaming. He is the one character on this list that I can think of that has as deep ties to gaming's roots as, say, Mario or Sonic, and is not yet in Smash. So I would love to see him. I'd take Master Chief as like a bonus, but Doomguy is the one I'd really want to see. Especially since they have the whole Doomguy Isabel connection thing now too.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
That would feed into it. You know, Sakurai would do a bunch with that as well.
Oh man, if we could get even just a Smash like photo of the day with like Isabel sitting on Doomguy's shoulder in Smash, that would be hilarious. I would love
that. That'd be great. Yeah, I mean, that could certainly be a thing. I feel like Master Chief is maybe a little bit more likely at this point than Doomguy, even though I do agree with you, Steve, that Doomguy is more important in a seminal way to, I mean, you know, Doom almost single-handedly created first-person shooters as we know them. And so absolutely there is reason for Doomguy to be here. But I feel like from a marketing perspective, Master Chief it would probably get the nod over him, whether that's deserved or not.
I mean, especially with Infinite coming out, it makes sense.
Yeah, and it almost writes the splash screen for Master Chief almost writes itself, because it could just be Master Chief finishes the fight literally the last ultimate DLC character.
I mean, depending on when it comes out, around October or so, by that point, Halo Infinite is not far from release, and boom.
That's also true. Yep. Yeah, I can't say from a personal perspective, I wouldn't want either of them, just because, you know, I'm not a big shooter guy myself, but I absolutely think that either of them would deserve to be here in Smash, and I would be very happy for their fans if that did happen.
I was just going to say, by that same sort of thing, idea, like, you know, Doomguy being the seminal originator of this genre almost, to a degree, just that's what you think of in the form of, you know, first-person shooters. There's a couple other characters that are often trotted out that kind of work in the same way. Crash being another pillar of platforming and just that major character. It won Source Gaming's poll pretty handily by, you know, basically 250 votes, essentially. You know, that's a big one. Ryu Hayabusa, again, a classic Nintendo character that is in the same way as like Simon, everybody's talked about Simon before he was part of the roster. Like, part of that classic NES golden age. And I maybe it's just John infecting my mind, but Arl from Puyo Puyo, which did make number 20, like only 1 point off from tying with Ryu in place for this, again, Source Gaming poll. And it's like, yeah, I kind of get it too, getting that puzzle representation in there, which we really don't have. So there's a lot of different directions we could go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, by that same token, if we're talking about Arl, we could also bring Rhythm Heaven into the conversation. But I think we're way past the point of a Rhythm Heaven character getting into the game. It was going to happen for Smash 4. They got scrapped. We don't know why. It's a shame. But I think we're probably past that point. And that also brings me to Crash. Like, I do wonder, Crash was so the favorite to be added for a while because of kind of like the resurgence of Crash hype around Crash 4. But I wonder if that moment has passed. And I wonder if Crash really isn't going to happen at this point.
I feel like Crash, if it was going to happen, would have happened around the launch of Crash 4. Mm-hmm. And I feel, mm-hmm. especially, you know, we have a Switch version of that now, too.
Right.
So I feel like that would have happened. You know, the one thing I feel like we're not necessarily ignoring, but I'm surprised we haven't discussed yet, is Monster Hunter.
Right.
I feel like there is a lot of room for a Monster Hunter character to appear in Smash.
Well, I thought so, too. And they were kind of one of my top predictions until the Monster Hunter Mii costumes came back in the most recent update. And that, to me, at least, takes Monster Hunter off the table. I think if they were going to do a character, they probably would have introduced Monster Hunter actual fighter before bringing back, you know, some of its most iconic armor in the form of Mii fighter costumes.
I would normally completely agree with that, if not for the fact that Monster Hunter Stories 2 is coming out. Right. And that has actual, like, static established characters. And that would be a great way to get people to pick that up, or, you know, fans of that to pick up Smash. I could see Capcom wanting to draw traditional Monster Hunter fans into the Stories series while also exposing non-Monster Hunter fans to the franchise via Smash, like they did with Rathalos as a boss character.
Right.
Well, and I think that's also an effective way. If you go the Monster Hunter Stories route and have a character from that or the main character, I don't know enough, but I know that both of them involve a young Rathalos. Having a Rathalos at your side fighting in this would be pretty hype for, I think, for Monster Hunter fans. Like, not only have that, like, I can almost imagine being able to switch between the weapons, because there's a ton of different weapons available for Monster Hunter. Having those represented through specials, and then either the final smash or some bit of the special, maybe the recovery, I don't know, involving that baby Rathalos or young Rathalos, that would be a unique way and get people hyped for Monster Hunter Stories too, if that was the plan. Again, it's hard to tell how much it ties into marketing and whatnot, because again, we got Persona 5, we got Joker with nothing involving Persona on the Switch.
Except for Strikers, but still.
Except for Strikers, which was 2 years later.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, like I said, there really are no rules when it comes to this. You know, it's nice to try to read tea leaves and make predictions. It's a lot of fun to do it, but
yeah,
I feel like every time I'm sure, like, Ash, you and I were so sure that Crash was coming.
Oh, it was me.
That was the two of you.
That's right.
I remember missing that and being like horrified, thinking, oh my God, was there a leak? Is it really going to be Crash? Damn it, that's not who I want, but I'm happy for his fans. And then it ended up not happening.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Speaking of Capcom, there's another character here that is always part of the conversation that would make a lot of people happy, I think, and that is, of course, Phoenix Wright. He's number 10 on Source Gaming's poll. And, I mean, he's been in a fighting game before. He was in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 as kind of a joke fighter, but he was still hilarious to watch and play as. And I do think that he would fit Smash's whole aesthetic and Smash's whole vibe very well. But I just wonder if he's big enough at this point to make it in as one of the last two characters. I mean, we do have the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles coming. Mm-hmm. So there is, you know, there is a tie-in potential there. I know that's obviously not Phoenix himself in the Great Ace Attorney, but still, you know, there is a possible for a tie-in there. But how are you all feeling about Phoenix's chance at this point? Because he's kind of, he has stuck around in the conversation for a long time.
Man, I feel like he does not have the potential to have a really good moveset that would work within Smash. I look at his Marvel vs. Capcom moveset, which involved a lot of like word bubbles and flashy on-screen things, and I feel like that would make an already busy game a little too busy, and I'm also not sure how you would have him fight otherwise.
That's the tricky part, is how you make him fight otherwise, and I mean, I never want to say there's no way for a character to work in Smash, because even back in the original, we got Captain Falcon and Fox, two characters who at that point had never been outside of their cars, their vehicles.
Yep,
right.
And yet we have a fully functioning moveset that's just iconic with them at that point.
Right. And since then, we've gotten all sorts of wacky characters like Mr. Game & Watch, whom you never would have expected to appear in a game like Smash, or Duck Hunt, or Steve, right? Steve and Alex. Yeah. I mean, so there are ways, certainly. I think Phoenix, right, in terms of having a weird moveset, that's certainly a challenge that Sakurai could overcome. But I just wonder if that ship hasn't sailed for Phoenix at this point. And I'm kind of feeling the same way about Shantae. I am a huge proponent of Shantae in Smash, but I think that if we were going to get her as an indie rep, it would have happened already. And I hate to say that, but I do kind of think Shantae's window of opportunity has maybe passed.
You know who I think we're as I look further down this list, number 17 on the list, 2B from Nier. I could definitely see that happening.
Especially because Nier is becoming so much bigger.
It is, but that also the one thing I make question is how many characters from each company would get put in, other than Nintendo. Like, we've already gotten Sephiroth. I think that makes Sora and 2B very difficult to get in.
Yeah, and I that's the thing is, and of course, I was going to mention Sora at some point. Obviously, everyone knows at this point he's my number one most wanted at this point. He's like my last plausible dream character who hasn't gotten in. We've heard the same rumblings everyone else has about apparently Nintendo did approach Disney and Disney said no, or they wanted too much money. Who knows what actually happened there? Clearly Nintendo's aware that people want Sora, but I do think that there is reason to believe that Sephiroth kind of closes the door on that possibility and is kind of who we got maybe instead of Sora. Or maybe the plan was always to bring a Sephiroth as part of FighterZ Pass 2. But I do wonder if yet another Square Enix character could be in the cards. I would be perfectly happy with that, of course. And it is a different series in both Sora and 2B's cases. But I do wonder if Sephiroth kind of closes the door on that.
I feel like he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're most likely right. I would like 2B. I think 2B would draw in a lot of folks that maybe don't necessarily play Smash, but like Nier. But I also feel like there's not a really great, unless there's, you know, and there's always the possibility that there's stuff going on we don't know about between Nintendo and Square. But I don't really think we're going to see like Nier Automata on the Switch this year or a Nier game in general. So
yeah,
I would say if we were talking Nier, from a marketing perspective, I would see Kine being added first because, you know,
Good Boys and Girls, no way does Kine make it out with that outfit.
Well, that's fair.
That's true. Oh, my Shiranui.
That is fair. I've not played.
And Kine's whole thing is she is foul mouthed as all hell.
I mean, I was kind of surprised, to be honest, to see Travis Touchdown represented even as a Mii costume, because he is also an extremely foul-mouthed character. I mean, there's, you know, a scene in No More Heroes 2 involves him having sex so hard he blows the door off his room. So, I mean, you know, it just goes to show that in terms of... And Bayonetta is a very sexy character.
Exactly, but there's ways that it's... Like, if you just look at the character, you don't see that. With Kine, it's all hanging out.
I need to play that game. Not because of that, but because I actually got it. Square Enix was nice enough to gift... Or, I'm sorry, it wasn't Square Enix. Microsoft was nice enough to gift me a copy for Xbox. So I have it, and I've booted it up, but I've only seen, like, the opening cutscene.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I intend to play it. But I'm looking at this list, and I'm seeing... I wonder, like, the further we get down this list, the more I see characters that I'm just like, nah, no way, not happening. Like, Scorpion, I would write off immediately, even though I do feel that Scorpion has a strong legacy with Nintendo hardware. You know, Mortal Kombat was a big deal in the SNES days, and the fact that Nintendo kind of had the best port, they reversed Nintendo's stance on mature content.
Well, only because the first Mortal Kombat was not ported right properly. Mortal Kombat 2 has a good standpoint, but the original Mortal Kombat sold better on Genesis just because it had the blood.
I learned a valuable lesson when I was a kid getting the Super Nintendo version of Mortal Kombat 1. I was like, this isn't right. Where's all the fun? But
the problem with Scorpion, and I think a Mortal Kombat character in general, is that Mortal Kombat 11 didn't even come out in Japan due to how excessively gory it was. So I think, you know, with an overall ban, not necessarily the series, but on the most recent game in the series, not even, you know, in Japan, period, I don't really see... I guess, I mean, you can have Score being removed from that context, but I feel like that might kind of remove him from the list of potentialities.
Well, I think the problem with Scorpion is that, one, we've seen a Mortal Kombat character in a game without Mortal Kombat signature gore, and it did not do very well. That was MK versus DC Universe.
Good point.
You know, so people kind of tie those Mortal Kombat characters, however fortunately or unfortunately, to the gory nature of the franchise. And when you pull them out of that context, they lose something. Because their attacks, their moves no longer seem as heavy hitting or vicious as they were. So I would see, you know, if I were Ed Boon or some of the folks at NetherRealm, I would probably feel like Scorpion's inclusion in Smash, while cool, would compromise his character a little bit.
Potentially.
Right.
I think something just in characters that have a more likely chance, speaking of Square Enix, you know, not having likely having another because they had, you know, already got one. It's very odd that Bandai Namco hasn't gotten more representation.
Exactly what
and
I was going to mention.
I really feel that they're due for one. I honestly think we're going to get one more Nintendo character and one more third party. And I think my gut at this point is more that if it's not going to be a Sonic character, I think it's going to be somebody from Bandai Namco. And the question is it from Tails? Is it from the Tails series? So is it Tails or Tails? Or is it, or do we get the hope beyond hope for Klonoa? Probably more likely
there
Tails, honestly, especially
no
with
no way
Arise,
in hell but it's going to be Klonoa. I would be so happy. I would cry tears of joy, but there's no way it's going to be Klonoa. I mean, it's, I guess there is a very remote possibility, but if we do get another Bandai Namco rep, I feel like it almost, especially because Tales of Arise is coming out soon, soonish. I mean, Lloyd has been in the conversation for most wanted Smash characters forever at this point. How could it be anyone, if there is going to be a Bandai Namco character, how could it be anyone other than Lloyd Irving, realistically, right? I mean, we thought we'd get maybe Miss Pac-Man as an Echo. That didn't happen. So I just don't see how anyone other than Lloyd is on the table. Maybe Yuri from Vesperia, but I feel like it's got to be Lloyd.
I honestly believe that if we get a Tails character, it'll be someone from Tales of Arise. Just
really,
so
you
Bandai
think so?
Can, so that they can promote their newest game. Yeah, I feel like Nintendo would definitely throw them, if they're letting them include a character at the tail end of the roster, that they would definitely, you know, hey, you guys made the game, so we'll let you include a character of your choice. And as much as I think it would be the right move to include Lloyd, I feel like the business-minded folks at Bandai would probably choose something that is currently for sale or that will be soon to drum up hype for whatever their latest offering is. And I'm looking at the characters from Tales of Arise. I think they look great. I believe that they could work pretty well in Smash. I know nothing about them. But I would be happy to see, you know, I wouldn't be happy insofar as, you know, I would much rather get Klonoa. That's my dream Bandai Namco character. But I would be happy that Bandai Namco just gets some shine after all the hard work they've done on this game.
Because you could throw out like Tekken, but I just don't see Tekken making it in.
Tekken for me is kind of similar to Mortal Kombat insofar as just the characters and the way they fight doesn't feel like it would fit right within Smash. But then again,
but
if you had
asked
me about...
they do have that silliness.
Yeah, if you had asked me about Ryu before Smash 4, I probably would have said the same thing.
That's true. I mean, you know, their Heihachi is obviously a very popular character, almost kind of serves as a bit of a mascot for Bandai Namco in general, so... You know, he's certainly on the list here. He's far down a little bit, but he's number 39, but he's on the list. And Heihachi has been someone who people have thrown around about Smash characters for a while now. So one thing, and not that I think she has even a ghost of a chance, but I am happy to see that Amaterasu from Okami is number 27 here. That's like really high for her to be. And I would be so happy if that ever happened. But of course, it's not. It's funny. Ironically, you know, we already talked about Monster Hunter and Phoenix Wright, but there is another Capcom character that I don't think is going to get in because he's already an assist trophy, but people have said they want, and I promise I'm not saying this just to get the usual mega mention in there, but Zero. People have said for a long time that they want Zero in Smash, and he would make for a great, you know, companion / foil to Mega Man. Obviously, you know, X would be cooler to have, but, you know, you don't need to have Mega Man and X in the game. So, You know, I don't think it's going to happen because he's already an assist trophy. But if he wasn't, I would say Zero would be kind of in the conversation a little bit. But
it'd be more interesting. It'd be a more interesting Zero if it pulled from the Zero series. Probably not, because that's not the iconic Zero.
Yeah.
But I just don't see it really.
You know what I would really like, if we're talking about drawing from the well of Mega Man characters, the main character from ZX, so where you could just switch forms on the fly.
Oh, yeah.
That would be biometals. Cool from a gameplay standpoint. But that character's just not iconic enough.
Oh, yeah, no. It'll never happen. Nobody cares about that character, which is kind of where I'm at with Mega Man EXE as well. I would prefer him to a whole lot of other Mega Man characters, but again, he's not popular enough. It would never happen.
Actually, Mega Man EXE himself is a lot more popular than you might think. I think people I think at this point, because we already have classic Mega Man in the roster, and that is, you know, that's obviously the Mega Man most closely associated with Nintendo, you know, I think that takes a bit of the shine off Mega Man EXE himself, but people love that iteration of the character. And I think if somehow base EXE got into the roster, I think people would be super hyped for that. But Battle Network continues to endure, and people have a lot of love for that version of the character, including myself. But I do agree with you, Steve. I don't think that's going to happen for any number of reasons, especially because we already have, you know, the classic, most well-known version of Mega Man already here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And speaking of Capcom characters, the one that placed the highest in this this Source Gaming poll was actually Dante. And the Devil May Cry games are on the Switch now, but
yeah, I feel like the window of opportunity closed on that though.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really cool to have a chance to have Dante versus Bayonetta. That would be just kind of fun for those fans. That would be hype.
And a lot of people had convinced themselves. I can't remember which reveal it was, but there were a lot of people who set themselves up for massive disappointment by assuming that Dante was going to be one of the more recent reveals. Was it Byleth, maybe, who people thought was going to be Dante? I can't remember.
Maybe, but I have no idea. Byleth.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that, too.
Right. And, you know, and Dante certainly would deserve to be here. He's obviously a huge action game character, one of the most popular of all time. Although he would piss off, much like Lloyd or another Tales of character would, he'd piss off the no more anime sword fighter crowd, which
the last six characters we mentioned are basically piss off that crowd.
Yeah. So clearly Sakurai is not concerned about that, nor should he be. But yeah, Dante could still happen. Dante's in a weird place because I could still absolutely see him happening. But at the same time, as you said, Steve, I kind of feel like that window is passed, but not entirely. So I wouldn't be fully surprised to see Dante get at it. But I don't know.
When it comes down to it, I think, you know, it's exciting to talk about all these because I've reached a point with Smash predictions and speculation where I feel like any name we threw out today could possibly be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the thing. We don't know. There's no pattern. We've said it every time, and every time we fall into the trap of, oh, there's a pattern. There's this thing going on. This could tie into this. And no, it does not matter. it really doesn't. Rules. Like, why is Sephiroth there? Like, when was Sephiroth came out? It's Final Fantasy VII Remake isn't coming to the Switch. It's just a thing. Banjo-Kazooie never came to the Switch. It's just a thing. And I think that it really comes down to is it's just who knows what it could be. And I mean, I see a list, a name one here I never thought of and would be kind of cool, but I don't think it'll actually happen. Number 30 on this Source Gaming list, Porky from Earthbound.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Imagine getting another Earthbound character.
Yeah, getting another Earthbound character of all things and a villain.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And we have talked about how, you know, there are more villains being added to the roster in Ultimate. And certainly, I mean, that just brings the conversation back to Dr. Eggman, who I do think is absolutely one of the more likely choices for the last two characters, him and Tails. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Dr. Eggman does have the benefit of being a villain, and Ultimate's been very villain-heavy, as we've seen. So there, I think it just kind of that brings it back to our original point, which is we're in the, not only in the end game now, but we really don't know who could be left. There are so many possibilities, and ARMS and Xenoblade 2 are already in, so where does that leave us? I guess going back to the first-party conversation for a brief moment, how are you feeling about the possibility of a Generation 8 Pokemon? Do you think that's still on the table?
I don't.
You know, I go back and forth on it.
You know, yeah. This isn't going to happen, but you know what I would much rather get than a Gen 8 Pokemon? I would rather get Todd from Pokemon Snap.
Can you imagine?
Have him use, like, his camera and his flash to blind you or something, and then, like, wild Pokemon can come attack you. Like Pokemon Trainer, but more fun. Like, you're not controlling the Pokemon.
You're controlling
the trainer himself, which I would... Yeah. I mean, it won't happen, but it'd be a funny character to play as.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. I think there's a chance we could still get a Gen 8 Pokemon. I really hope we don't. I just don't think that would be, at least personally, that wouldn't be very hype for me. I, of course, would be very happy for all the, you know, Sword and Shield fans out there. But I don't know. I feel like maybe the window has passed with Sword and Shield and its DLC already having been out for quite a while now.
If we get a Gen 8, and I'm just going to say this, because one, I think a Gen 8 Pokemon will disappoint a lot of people, but I think they would double down on it, and it would be Scorbunny. No one wants a fire Pokemon. No one wants Scorbunny.
We just already got Incineroar, though.
I know, that's why it would be more disappointing.
Oh, man.
The thing is, Rillaboom isn't that... I've never seen Rillaboom mentioned as the most popular of the Final Evolutions. It could work, but it also kind of feels like DK at that point. You got a big monkey that uses drums.
Yes.
It's DK.
Yeah, true.
A more interesting choice is Toxtricity, who is a popular pick, has the new, you know, the new Gigantamax form for Final Smash, and is a poison electric type. We've had two electric types thanks to Pikachu and Pichu, but still, the poison typing makes it a little bit different. And the rocker aesthetic, definitely, there's a lot you can do personality-wise with Toxtricity there. And I think that might be our best case scenario for a Pokemon from Gen 8.
Yeah, agreed. I think you're right.
I just looked up Toxtricity because I wasn't familiar, and I like this design.
It's a cool design.
It's a fantastic design.
Yeah.
If we had to get one, I would prefer Toxtricity. But I will stick to my guns and say that if we caught one, because it's always this way, we would get Scorbunny. Or rather, what's the fully evolved form? Cinderace. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where I believe we'd end up.
Like, we got the sports star with Cinderace. We got the sniper espionage person with,
Inteleon. Right?
Yeah. And then a Rillaboom with the drummer.
So, I mean, there are a few good choices for Generation 8 Pokemon. I just don't think that would be a particularly hype announcement, for myself at least. But I know there are people out there who would be happy to get another Pokemon, period. I think part of it is kind of like the Fire Emblem situation. I don't hate the fact that Byleth is in the game. Byleth is fine, and Fire Emblem's great. But there are so many Fire Emblem characters already, just like there are so many Mario characters and so many Pokemon characters. I feel like those three franchises just need a bit of a rest when it comes to Smash. And there is one first-party series that hasn't gotten a rep in a long time, and it's such an important series to Nintendo, which makes it even weirder, and that, of course, is Zelda. Do we think there's a chance we could get a Zelda character at this point, another Zelda character?
Oh, man.
I mean, if we want to go all tinfoil hats... Skyward Sword is coming out, and it has an interesting fighter-ready forms of both Impa and Groose.
And Impa has been a much more visible character lately due to both, you know, Breath of the Wild but especially Age of Calamity, the original Hyrule Warriors. I mean, although she might just be conceptually too similar to Sheik, just as kind of a ninja. Yeah.
That's the tricky part.
So, yeah.
We've already got two ninjas.
Yeah, I personally always wanted to see the OG Hyrule Warriors version of Impa get into the game because I just love her design.
Oh, give her that Naginata. Oh, it'd be beautiful.
Yeah, right? We don't have a Naginata user in Smash, so that would be really cool. But, we could speculate all day on who it could be, but we have been going for almost an hour. So to wrap this up, I'm going to give you guys, you know, the challenge I'm sure you thought was coming. Let's say Sakurai calls you on the phone and says, "Hey, Derek, Steve, you get to pick the last two characters, but you have to tell me now, who would you fill out the last two slots with?" Derek, let's start with you.
Oh, boy. See, you want to dream big and all that stuff, but I always find myself kind of pulled back down to reality and what, like, I find likely to happen. I know the fun of it is just like dream characters pop that out there, but yeah. I like having a little bit of realism to my picks. And honestly, I would choose... I feel like I got to go with Dr. Eggman and Shantae.
Nice. Okay.
I don't know. I've wanted Shantae for a while, and I like the idea of Dr. Eggman being in there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. What about you, Steve?
I'm going to go a little more punk with my selections. I would go choose. I would choose Travis Touchdown and Beat from Jet Set Radio.
Wow. Ooh. Wow. Okay. Out of left field there.
Yeah, okay, man. Gotta represent the Dreamcast, nice. Baby.
I mean, mine's obviously pretty, obvious. I would pick Sora, but the second one is harder. But because this is ultimately Smash, I would like to get one more first-party character in there. So for me, it would be Sora and a Rhythm Heaven rep. I want so badly to see Rhythm Heaven rep in Smash. I think it deserves it more than, like, three songs and a spirit or two. But you know, such as it is, but yeah, I think it would be Sora and a Rhythm Heaven character, although it hurts so much to not pick Tails or Klonoa as well. So,
right. That's the thing. The only two left. You're like, oh God, my choices are so limited.
Yeah. But,
cause we could easily, we could rattle off 5, 10, 15 more characters that could be added to the roster and we'd be happy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's and part of why I've said, yeah, I mean, as much as Sakurai absolutely deserves the longest vacation in the world, I have so much respect for what he and his team have been able to accomplish, especially in the midst of a pandemic. I could never complain. And whichever the last two characters are, I could not be happier with this game and this incredible roster. And all my love and respect goes out to Sakurai and his team. But because this is Smash and because we can speculate forever, I just want more. I want to keep it going. I want a Fighters Pass 3, but, you know, obviously Sakurai needs the freedom to work on other projects that are not Smash. So if this really is the end, it's been an incredible ride.
100%. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Smash has got the greatest roster of any video game ever. So I'm happy with the roster we got.
Yeah, it's video games to video game, essentially.
Pretty much.
Well, with that said, I think that about wraps things up for us here. As I've said, this is our first and what will be many weekly discussions coming to Good Vibes Gaming. This one we came up with ourselves because we know that Smash discussions are a huge part of the reason that a lot of you, got into our content in the first place. So we wanted to start off with that. But in the future, as I said, we are going to be having our patrons at the producer tier and above voting on our weekly discussions on the topics we cover. So if you're interested in having a say in that, you should head on over to patreon.com/gvgaming and check out all the tiers we offer and all the ways you can support us. But even if you can't do that, if you enjoyed this discussion, we would really appreciate it if you dropped a like and subscribe to our channel. But otherwise, that's about it for us today, so we will see you next time. Thanks, everyone. Bye.